What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tropp, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, the MVP was announced earlier this week, and no shocker here. It ended up being SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, nobody has been as consistent as he has been this season. I mean, you could obviously make a case for Nikola Jokic, but you could do that every single year. But I think this year it was undisputed that SGA deserved the MVP this year, and he is showing it with the first couple of games in the Western Conference Finals. But actually, before we get into what he's done in the Western Conference Finals, gotta say, the trade that the Oklahoma City Thunder made for SGA actually involved Paul George a few years ago, and gotta say, what an excellent move by the Oklahoma City Thunder to trade away Paul George, who is actually two teams away from the Oklahoma City Thunder when he was with the Thunder. They traded into the Clippers, and he's not even with the Clippers anymore. He's actually with the Philadelphia 76ers and pretty much missed a big chunk of this season. So they ended up getting SGA in that huge trade. I mean, they actually got a killing in that trade. They got a ton of draft picks, but SGA was obviously what it started with, and it's just kind of funny how that completely worked out for them, and they may end up winning a championship simply because of that perfect trade they made. And I mean, it just goes to show, I mean, the Clippers, they do what the Clippers do in their trade and completely fail. But Oklahoma City, they look like they may end up winning a championship simply because of their trade. So let's get into the Western Conference Finals and how the first two games went down. And it's pretty much been all Oklahoma City in both of the games. On Tuesday night in Game 1, Oklahoma City got the win 114-88. SGA had 31 points. And it's funny because Oklahoma City actually had a sluggish first half. It was actually looking like it was going to be a real legit game, and Minnesota actually had a shot to win it. And SGA, he was really, really sluggish himself. He was not his typical self. I mean, he pretty much has not had a bad game at all this year. And the beginning of this first half was probably like his worst first half of the entire season, which just says a lot about the year he's had. But he ended up with 31 points, and the Oklahoma City Thunder literally just turned it around in the second half and just took off from there and got the Game 1 win. And then Game 2 was Thursday night, and they obliterated Minnesota in that one as well. 118-103, SGA had 38 points and 8 assists. Jalen Williams had 26 points and 10 rebounds. Chet Holmgren had 22 points, and it was just an all-around excellent team game from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Actually, last night is when SGA was presented with his MVP award, so they had a lot to play for. That you could just tell this team really plays for each other. That's really what I like to see about this Oklahoma City Thunder team, and really why at this point I would say they are absolutely the front runner to win it all. I mean, that's pretty obvious since the regular season they had. But so far throughout these playoffs, they've really proven they are what they are, and that is a legit squad. Game 3 is going to be on Saturday night. Oklahoma City's got the 2-0 lead right now, and Minnesota's really, really going to have to step it up. Anthony Edwards has been doing his Anthony Edwards things. As a matter of fact, in Game 1, Julius Randle had a fantastic game. It's just Oklahoma City's just that damn good. But Minnesota definitely has to step it up in Game 3 if they want to even have a fighting chance in the Western Conference Finals. Then in the Eastern Conference Finals, what a game we had on Wednesday night between the Indiana Pacers and the New York Knicks. Not only did we get overtime, but we had us an instant classic. So to start off, the Knicks were dominating this game. This was looking like it was going to be all Knicks all night. As a matter of fact, I was watching this game as it was winding down with about two minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. I'm like, oh, the Knicks got this. I'm just kind of like scrolling through my cell phone, not really paying a whole lot of attention. And then I notice that it looks like Indiana is starting to make a run. And I'm like, you know what? Let me just go ahead and keep watching this, because I was almost, you know, getting ready to kind of like just wind down, turn off the game, go to sleep. But I'm glad I did not do that, because Indiana was down 14 points with about 2 minutes left to go. And all of the sudden, they just turned it on, and the New York Knicks just turned it off. First of all, the Knicks straight up choked. But you got to give the Pacers credit where the Pacers do. And I mean, the Pacers, they were doing what they do, keeping pace the entire game. And they really never lost it, even though they were down. They pretty much never had a shot up until the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter. And they just got it going defensively. They were sticking it to the Knicks. Every time they had a couple of inbound passes from the Knicks that they almost lost. And they were very loosey-goosey with all of their passes and with their dribbling. And it just was not a good sequence of events for the New York Knicks, where it was the complete opposite for the Indiana Pacers. Then Tyrese Halliburton made the play of the game with seconds left to go. He tosses up. It looks like a three-pointer at first, but his foot was on the line, so it ended up going for 2 points. But, man, it was one of those shots where he throws up the shot and you go, oh, game over. And it's like bouncing in the air, and it magically lands in the basket to tie up the game, send them into overtime. And Tyrese Halliburton, as they're going into overtime after he makes the shot, he's looking at Reggie Miller. Reggie Miller, longtime Indiana Pacer who had a classic game in New York against the New York Knicks many years ago in a playoff game, and he did the infamous choking around his neck sign to Spike Lee, the director, who's a New York Knicks fan. Well, in this game, Halliburton looked straight at Reggie Miller, who was one of the announcers during this game, looks right at him, points to him as he's doing the choking sign, like, look, I just did the same thing that you did many years ago. And in overtime, Indiana did not let up. The New York Knicks, they looked like they were doing better than they were in the final 2 minutes, but it kind of felt like they were just shook that the Pacers came back and made it. And Pacers ended up hanging on and getting the win in overtime in New York, 138-135. Tyrese Halliburton had 31 points and 11 assists. Hell, this was a 43-point game from Jalen Brunson. I mean, like, even Brunson had an amazing game. Karl Anthony Towns had a double-double in this one. But, I mean, the Pacers, they just played excellent team ball. Neesmith, he was knocking down some threes. He ended up with 30 points in the end, but he was knocking down some clutch threes, especially in that fourth quarter there to make the run to head into overtime. Game two, Friday night in New York, Indiana is up 1-0 on the New York Knicks right now. And it's very, very shocking. This is the Indiana Pacers team. They've been this way throughout the entire playoff run. They've just been playing great. They've been playing fantastic basketball, fantastic team basketball, and they aren't scared of anybody. So the New York Knicks better step it up tonight if they want to tie this series up. All right, moving on to baseball and the week of baseball that we had. We actually had a historical start, and not in a good way, but we'll get to that when we talk about Thursday's games. But on Monday, there was a great matchup between the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. Dodgers are actually kind of on a little bit of a skid right now this week. Arizona got the win 9-5, and it was just home run central for the Arizona Diamondbacks in this one. Gurriel had a home run. Perdomo, Moreno, all three of them had home runs. Mookie Betts on the other side, he actually hit two home runs himself. It was a pretty back-and-forth affair for a little bit there, but Arizona pulled away in the final innings. And as I said, the Arizona Diamondbacks, they know how to play the Dodgers, and I know we all thought the Dodgers were going to run away with the season this year. I didn't really think they were going to run away with it. As a matter of fact, they were not my World Series pick, so I wasn't hopping on that bandwagon, because just because you got a stacked roster don't mean shit. But especially with the way this National League West looks, it's going to be a difficult one for the Dodgers. I still expect them to win the division, but you got teams like the Diamondbacks and the Giants and the Padres all playing really, really well with deep rotations and having no issues scoring. Dodgers, it's not going to be a cakewalk for them this year, as the Diamondbacks showed on Monday. Then on Tuesday, great battle between the Detroit Tigers and the St. Louis Cardinals. The Tigers actually ended the St. Louis Cardinals winning streak that they had going at that point. Detroit got the close win, 5-4. Tarik Skubal had a fantastic game. He pitched 5.2 innings with 8 strikeouts. He did have a couple of earned runs on him, but it still didn't matter. He pitched his heart out in this one. Riley Green, he went 3-for-4 with a home run and 4 RBI, and it was just a really fantastic game from the Detroit Tigers, who continue to surge this week and be the top team in the league, which is not a shock at all to me. Then on Wednesday, we had a battle between the New York Yankees and the Texas Rangers. The Yankees got the win 4-3. Jason Dominguez had the walk-off home run to win it all, but it was a battle with Jacob DeGrom and Aaron Judge. Every time Judge came up to bat, he and DeGrom went at it, and DeGrom was the winner in this one. He didn't get the win, but every time Judge came up to bat, it was mad respect between the two of them, and he was striking him out. It was crazy, but he did not. What happened with Dominguez was after DeGrom was out of the game. It's kind of typical of DeGrom's career is where he doesn't get a lot of run support. And when he comes out of the game, that's when shit gets fucked up, because he actually went 7 innings, had 9 strikeouts. And Jake Berger had 2 home runs in this game. But of course, the Yankees ended up getting the win 4-3. And then also on Wednesday night, the Philadelphia Phillies, they are on quite the winning streak right now. They got a win over the Colorado Rockies 9-5. They are on a winning streak of 6 after Wednesday night's win. They got their catcher Real Muto back not too long ago, and he's getting right back into the groove of things. He went 3-for-5 with a home run and 3 RBI. And Bryce Harper is actually starting to heat up as well. I mean, he's usually been very consistent, but this year has been a very slow start for him. But he's been getting going the last couple of weeks. He went 2-for-5 with a home run and an RBI in this one. And then on Thursday, the Phillies got another win over the Colorado Rockies, 2-0. That extends their winning streak to 7. As a matter of fact, now they actually have the National League's best record. They are the #1 overall seed right now with 32 wins. So like I said, this is actually my World Series pick is the Philadelphia Phillies, because I feel like they could go toe-to-toe, roster-to-roster with the Los Angeles Dodgers. And that just goes to show, because they got 32 wins on the season, and the Dodgers do not. I think the Dodgers are at 31 or 30, so they're not far behind. But the Phillies are on a great win streak right now, but the Colorado Rockies are the exact opposite. As a matter of fact, I just was talking about a historical start. Well, that's the Colorado Rockies right now. They currently have 8 wins on the season after 50 games. That is actually the worst start in the history of Major League Baseball for any team ever in the first 50 games of the season. So the Colorado Rockies are actually on pace to be as terrible as the Chicago White Sox from last season. So yikes, especially with, I was just talking about the National League West and how good all the teams are. Everybody's good except for the Colorado Rockies. And not only are they bad, but they are bad, bad. All right, moving on to this week's list, continuing the theme of playoff moments from old school players who are not in the league anymore. And this week I decided to do one of my all-time favorite players. It actually was quite fun to relive some of this guy's moments, and that is Tim Duncan. He is my second favorite player of all time, right behind Kobe Bryant. Really enjoyed both of their careers, so haven't really talked a lot about Tim Duncan because he's been retired while I've been doing the podcast, so really haven't had any opportunities to do it. But this week I was trying to figure out what's a different player I could do, and I was like, oh, Timmy, gotta do Timmy. So this week we are doing the Top 5 Tim Duncan playoff moments, and if you do not know, Tim Duncan is why the Spurs actually were a dynasty at one point. He completely turned this organization around. Yes, there was David Robinson and George Gervin and very excellent players along the way for the San Antonio Spurs, but nobody changed this organization the way Tim Duncan did. This became a legit squad. Every single year, he was an MVP caliber player. He is a champion. He is one of the greatest power forwards ever to do it. In my opinion, he's the greatest to ever do it at the power forward position. But the thing about Tim Duncan is he was just that silent assassin. His nickname, the Big Fundamental, because, I mean, just that's what he did. He was just so fundamental with the fundamentals of basketball. He just knew exactly what he was doing. He's always in the right place at the right time. He could dominate the paint. He was great defensively. He was great offensively. He just had so many clutch moments. And so we are going with Tim Duncan this week. So at #5 on my top five Tim Duncan playoff moments, I have 2003 Game 6 Western Conference Semifinals versus my Los Angeles Lakers. I had to put it on the list. I begrudgingly put it on the list. That's why I put it at 5, even though this is a big moment for him. Well, first of all, the 2003 season, just in general for Tim Duncan, probably his greatest season of all. He just dominated in such a crazy way. And every game, regular season, postseason, he just had a fantastic year in the 2003 season. Also won a championship in that year. So, I mean, that just goes to show you what kind of a year it was. It was pretty much flawless for him in every way. And it pretty much started right here against the Los Angeles Lakers, because the Lakers, they were coming off of a three-peat. They are going for a four-peat at this point. They are the dynasty at this point, and you got to go through the Lakers to get to the championship. And that's exactly what Tim Duncan did in Game 6. This is actually the end of this Lakers dynasty, basically. I mean, yes, they would go to the NBA Finals the following year and lose to the Detroit Pistons. But basically, after this, it was nosedive and goodbye to Shaq, and that was that. But in this Game 6 Western Conference semifinals, Tim Duncan had 37 points, 16 rebounds. 15 of those 37 points came in the first quarter. So right out the gate, Tim Duncan was ready to go. He was like, we are not only winning the championship this year, but we're taking care of business against the Los Angeles Lakers and letting everybody know that we are legit and for real, and just really starting the playoffs right for the San Antonio Spurs. And this was basically, I mean, yes, they won their first championship in 1999, but this was the first of a really solid run for the San Antonio Spurs. Because if you don't remember, in the early 2000s, it was basically like, in the Western Conference, it was basically Lakers, Spurs, Lakers, Spurs, Lakers, Spurs. That's pretty much who was going to the finals for quite some time, is they were alternating who was going to the finals for a bit. And this game was a big one for Tim Duncan personally. Then number four on my top five Tim Duncan playoff moments, the 2007 Game 6 Western Conference Semifinals versus the Phoenix Suns. Now, if you don't remember this Phoenix Suns team, this was the Steve Nash Phoenix Suns team. Amari Stoudemire Phoenix Suns team. I mean, Steve Nash, I'm pretty sure, won the MVP this year. If he didn't win the MVP that year, it was kind of one of those years where he was at least in contention and in the running for it. But I'm pretty sure he did win it that year. But regardless, this was a good Phoenix Suns team, and this was actually a career game for Tim Duncan, and they would actually go on and move on to the next round in this after this particular game. But in this game, Tim Duncan had 24 points, 13 rebounds, and 9 blocks, which was a playoff career high for him. And the thing about this 2007 game, it was more, is Tim Duncan done, or is he still the big fundamental and still that great? And in this game, he proved it. He's like, y'all, I'm still that dude, and I'm going to prove it to you in this game. Then at number three on my top five Tim Duncan playoff moments, the 2008 Game 1 first round versus the Phoenix Suns. This one actually ended up going into double overtime. And the stat line on Tim Duncan, I mean, first of all, Tim Duncan played like the entire double overtime game. And this is 2008 Tim Duncan. This is towards the end of his career, Tim Duncan. He played 50 minutes and 41 seconds in this game, which was crazy for him at the time. But he was determined to win this game and just determined to move on to the next round. He had 40 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks in this one. So he was just an overall all-around beast in this game and just showing the league that, hey, I'm still Tim Duncan and I can still do it. Then at number two on my top five Tim Duncan playoff moments, this is basically the welcome to the league moment for Tim Duncan. Him letting the entire world know that I am a Hall of Famer and get ready for this stellar career that you are about to see. It is 1999, Game 5 NBA Finals versus the New York Knicks. This is the first championship for the San Antonio Spurs in which they would just dominate the Knicks. It was just boom, right out of the gate. They they didn't sweep the Knicks. It was gentlemen sweep. They won in 5 games. And this was the final game of it. And in it, he had 31 points. And he was making sure, not only am I finally getting a ring, but I'm letting y'all know that I'm a great player. And it ain't just David Robinson. It ain't just we're just a great team. Here comes Tim Duncan, and he just dominated this game. The San Antonio Spurs team only lost 2 games in their entire playoff run, so they were really dominating in this one. But it was the first one, and it was Tim Duncan letting the world know that not only am I winning one, this is the first of my 5 rings, but get ready for it, because you're going to be seeing this legend play at a fantastic high level for many years to come. But at number one on my top five Tim Duncan playoff moments is, like I said, the 2003 season was a big year for Tim Duncan. And 2003 Game 6 NBA Finals versus the New Jersey Nets was a big one for him. He almost had a quadruple double. He was 2 blocks away from a quadruple double. He did end up with a triple double, and it was just a monster game from Tim Duncan. He had 21 points, 20 rebounds, 10 assists, and 8 blocks. So he just missed the quadruple double by 2 blocks, but that's just what a dominator Tim Duncan was. He could score. I mean, he could score 3-pointers. He's a big dude who could score 3-pointers. He was always in the paint. He wasn't scared to go up against dudes like Shaq. He just was always there to do his job. He was a fantastic leader and just one of the greatest players to watch in this game. To me, is probably Tim Duncan's greatest game he has ever played in his entire career, in the greatest season of his entire career. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you on Monday.